Have you heard about the impossible fuel-free engine that could take humans to Mars in just 10 weeks? It's about to go under peer review. The EM drive creates thrust by bouncing microwaves around an enclosed chamber, and it only uses solar power. The concept has generated widespread excitement about its potential to be used, and you've guessed it, deep space travel. Check it out right now in the news section at coasttocoastam.com. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me right now on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Next, Reverend J.S. Carter, we are going to be talking about UFOs in the Bible, Jesus and alien contact, the 21st century version of religion and E.T. contact, all of that. Controversial? Yes. Michael J.S. Carter, next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Reverend Michael J.S. Carter is an ordained interfaith minister and received his B.A. degree in letters from the College of New Rochelle, where he graduated cum laude. He received his master's in divinity degree from Union Theological Seminary in New York City. He has served as a staff chaplain at Lenox Hill Hospital, Beth Israel Hospital, Beth Israel Cancer Center, Methodist Hospital, and New York Hospital, Queens, while residing in New York City. Michael now serves as minister for the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the Swannanoa Valley. His book, which I carry with me everywhere, it's my Bible, Alien Scriptures, Extraterrestrials, and the Holy Bible. I'd like to welcome back to Coast to Coast one of our favorite and my favorite guest and friend, the Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. Michael, how are you tonight, sir?
My brother, how are you?
It's been a while.
It's been a while.
It has been a while, but it's always great to hear your voice. You know what's great about this Easter weekend and having you on and having Trish on is I like to cause trouble. And the point with that, Michael, is if you don't do that, then you're not making people think. That's all, and just keep your ears open. You don't have to agree or believe or anything. All you need to do is go, that's interesting. All right, I'm going to go check that out. And that's what I love doing. And here you are with us, and I'm ready to cause a little trouble. You ready to go?
Well, I'm with you. I'm with you, brother.
Okay.
You. Let's do this. Let's cause a little trouble for you.
Yeah, no problem. Well, let's start here, Michael. I mean, you've been on with us so many times, and everybody knows about your background. And if we have time, we may get back into that. But let me start here. Why is it that religion enough is a difficult thing to talk about? You can never get anybody to agree. We know this. And then you throw in E.T. and UFOs into the mix, and now you're really asking for trouble. But this is the life that you've chose, and you've been speaking about this forever. How difficult is it, really?
Well, it has been difficult. But, for instance, 25 years ago when I was talking about this, I never talked about my own experiences because, it was just a career killer. People wouldn't even deal with you. I was a nut job. And now, what a difference 25 years makes. But I think that, as you were saying in the beginning, you say it very in a very palatable way, Jimmy, but you want to get people to think. And this is how we grow spiritually. Oscar Wilde said that once an individual's mind has been stretched, it can never go back to where it was before. I think what makes it so difficult, and this is just speculation, is that human beings, and that's myself included, I'm almost 60 years old and just getting over this, is that we have a need to be right. People will give up their security, they will give up their marriages, they will give up relationships, jobs, they will give up almost anything to be right. And after a while, if you're fortunate enough, you start saying to yourself, was I put on earth just to be right? Is that the whole sum total of my life? Now, there's nothing wrong with being right. We're in instances. But when that's your whole modus operandi, that's the human ego. And so for me, through my own life experiences and my own, disciplined. I'm learning that the ego is, boy, I mean, it can really screw you. And so I'm learning not, I don't have to be right. I can let someone else be right. I can put my truth out there, and that's enough. And I think that once that happens, and it's not going to happen. We've got 8 billion, 9 billion people on the planet. It's not going to happen at once. You can pick up a newspaper and see what happens when people want to be right. But as one matures, you know, it doesn't have to be the be-all, end-all. And then you can be open to new things, even scary ideas. So that's my two cents.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, and I really appreciate that, you know, my mission is to learn. That's all I want to do, Michael. I just want to learn. And I have said many, many, many times, if I ever won the lottery, I mean the lottery, the real deal, you know what I would do? I'd go back to school. I'd pick a school, and I would build the big Jimmy Church library, right? And I would go, and I would learn for the rest of my life. That's what I would do. You know, and that's...
No, I didn't mean to interrupt you. No, that's it. I mean, right now we're in the school of life, which is the ultimate school. But yeah, book learning is wonderful. But you're already learning. You're making other people learn. This is what Billy Meyer talks about with the Palladians, and not the only one. Buddha talks about it, but that it's about stretching your consciousness, and that's where your spiritual growth comes in. So I'm with you. That's what I did. I went back to school as an adult. But I realized that life was still my greatest teacher.
Let's go back in time a little bit. One of the things that I'm fascinated with is all of the mythology, the legend, the biblical structure of things, is everything came from the heavens. Everything comes from above. And not only in the Bible, but every culture around the world, going back millennia, the knowledge came from the stars. Now, is it just because they didn't have another way to explain? You talk about this in your book, and I like the way that you address this. But they just didn't know how to address what they were seeing, so they went with angels, and they went with gods, and they called it birds.
They're using the vocabulary, the nomenclature of their time. I mean, our ancestors were primitive in certain ways. If you nail somebody to a piece of wood, that's pretty ignorant. But in a lot of ways, we were very intelligent. And so we were, you know, we're trying to use the mythology of our time. If I could go back in time on a ship or just through a portal, and I pulled out this Apple cell phone and maybe a computer, if people weren't ignorant enough to kill me first because they didn't know who I was or even to worship me, this would be magic. This technology would be godlike. And they were trying to explain the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. Jesus says, I'm coming back on a cloud. People knew that people didn't clouds. You can walk on clouds, but they were trying to use the words of their time to explain the phenomenon that they were experiencing. And we do it here too. And when you're talking about religion and faith, you know, it's a very subjective thing. And you cannot put a 21st century Belteshazzar on a first century CE individual all the time. You can decipher, you can translate, but you're not there. So we use the best tools that we can, but it could all be otherwise. So I think that if we're open to that, that these people are trying to say, I'm a Unitarian Universalist denomination. We are very cerebral. And so a lot of people throw out with the baby with the bathwater. Come on, people don't fly on clouds and flying chariots and that kind of thing. But they didn't take the time because of their woundedness. They haven't taken the time to say, well, wait a minute, is there another perspective here? If there's not, then you don't say it is, and you move on. But a lot of times we don't see the forest for the trees.
Well, don't we make those same mistakes today? Here we are in 2016. If we see something strange in the sky that we can't explain, we don't know what to do with it either. And so 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, how could we expect anything different?
Exactly. It's godlike. It's out of the norm. And so, I mean, listen, look what we do with technology. I mean, one could argue today that technology is really our God. I mean, outside of money, we put on the dollar bill and God we trust. But technology, you know, technology is going to fix everything. Science is going to fix everything. And the hour is late. And we have all these gadgets. And we're slaves to them. They were supposed to make our lives easier, but yet they make us even more busy than we'd like to be. So we have our version of our gods as well. And we would do well to, when you live in a glass house, you don't throw stones.
When somebody asks you, you know, they've read your book and they've heard about you, and they go, okay, Reverend, give me an example of UFO or ET contact in the Bible, and don't play around, you know, because that's they want proof. What is it that you tell them?
Well, I first of all, I preface with saying that for me, the Bible is more than just an ET book. There's some profound truths in there. You know, I don't want to disrespect it, and I'm not trying to be politically correct, and I don't even like that. It's personally conscious, but I try to say there's more to it than that. But I talk about Ezekiel. I can talk about the, you know, Genesis 6, you know, let us make man in our image. Obviously we talk about the Star of Bethlehem. We would talk about Moses and the Red Sea. You know, there's no Jewish religion until after the Exodus, which is very crucial. We can go to the Quran when Gabriel, who's in every, you know, he's in the New Testament and in the Quran. It's a very interesting job he has because everywhere he goes, women get pregnant. I've always wondered about Gabriel. You know, I try to use those stories as a way to say, could our ancestors have been talking about off-world intelligences?
Well, you've you've had your own experiences, too, as yes. well, in New York
yes.
City.
Yes.
So
yes.
with your own personal knowledge of about what is actually going on out there, can you then, do you read between the lines in the Bible yeah. and go, wait a minute, that's not what they're trying to say here. I know what's going on.
Well, that's what I did. I mean, you know, the ongoing experiences, they still continue, sometimes with years in between. But yeah, when I talk about December 28, 1989, that first conscious experience of seeing that gray brother in my room, it wasn't really gray, it was kind of chalk-colored, but be that as it may, I started saying, okay, now, if these folk are visiting me in 1989 and obviously beyond, then they must have been here in 1989 BC, and they probably were here millennia before that. And by me standing on the shoulders of Brother Eric Van Doniken, you know, of Brother Barry Downing, Morris K. Jessup, Reverend Virginia Brasington, all of these people had written books about UFOs in the Bible. So I said, okay, the fear factor, it's up there because I'm putting my reputation on the line here, but I'm not the only pioneer. I'm standing on the shoulders of the people that I just mentioned. And so it gave me the impetus, and these were my heroes and sheroes, and the courage to say, wait a minute. Now, the only difference between myself and the people I named is that, at least as far as I know Brother Downing because he and I are friends, and he said, I'm glad they don't visit me, but I've had the experiences. And so not that that's going to make me a celebrity or anything like that, but if I can say, well, hey, I know what the fear is like. I know what sleeping with the light on late at night and that kind of thing can do. And so also I can apply that to my, you know, I'm seminary trained. So I can, my experience plus my education equals this. Doesn't mean that it's true, but it sure gives it some validity.
What is your take on Ezekiel's wheel? Because when I read that, to me, I'm trying to picture exactly what is written. And that to me is something mechanical and something that is certainly in the air. I don't think it's imagination or it's a dream. What did Ezekiel see?
Ezekiel saw what? I'll make it easier for you, and those listening can go Google this. It's copyrighted, but at least you'll see a picture of it. There's a wonderful book called The Spaceships of Ezekiel. It was written by a NASA scientist. He was an engineer. His name was Joseph Blumrich, B-L-U-M-R-I-C-H. I have it right here in my library. Brother Blumrich took the specifications that Ezekiel said he saw, and he drew what he thinks Ezekiel saw. You can go to Google it right now. It will pop up, The Spaceships of Ezekiel. And he copyrighted it. And when you see this, there's no doubt that this is a flying craft. And, this is where we start. This is where we begin with flying chariots and such. And so it's hard to refute that Ezekiel is not seeing something that is not from this world. And that's the easiest way to put it, because there's a visual. That's why I ask people to look at that. That this is a visual. He talks about in the first chapter, he says on the fifth day of the month, in the fifth year of captivity of Jehoiachin, who was the king of Judah, the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Shabar. So he gives you all the information. It's the fifth day of the month, okay? He also says before that, it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day. So he's letting you know what's going on. And he says, I was one of the captors by the river Shabar, and the heavens opened, and I saw the visions of God. Isn't that dreaming?
Right.
I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud. But there's that word, a great cloud.
Right.
And a green fire. And this is in the first chapter for those people who want to look at it. It's right at the beginning of the book of Ezekiel, right after Lamentations. And he's talking about what he's seeing, the four faces. They had four wings, and their legs were straight. He's trying to talk about the wheels of the craft. He talks about the lights going around, but he calls them the eyes. So again, he's trying to say, hey, man, this is what I'm seeing, and this is how I can explain it to you. You know, this is definitely a craft he's talking about.
Yeah,
and it lifts him and takes him someplace. He says, the Spirit took me up. He's talking about, and the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me the sound of great rushing. I heard that when the beings came to see me.
Right. Well, how do you address when you are, we're going to be hitting a break here in a few seconds, so do you speak about this when you are speaking to a congregation?
I don't. Not unless they ask me to. They've heard me on this show before with you and with George. Some people come to the church and are disappointed because they think it's a UFO church. And
right.
But they buy my books and whatever. My congregation usually is like, you know, in Joshua Tree, or I'm going to be at the Phoenix MUFON giving a talk in July.
Oh, let me jump in right there, because we're going to hit a hard break. Our guest tonight is Michael J.S. Carter. We're talking about, well, it's Easter weekend. We're talking about ETs in the Bible and Jesus. And I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Be right back. Check this out. A moon base could be operational by 2022. And this is according to an ambitious plan set out by NASA, released yesterday. The base would cost around $10 billion, which is like pennies on the dollar compared to the $170 billion that was spent in today's dollars on the Apollo missions that sent 12 men into space, allegedly. You can check out the whole story right now in the news section over at coasttocoastam.com. Our guest tonight, Michael J.S. Carter, the Reverend. His book, Alien Scriptures, Extraterrestrials, and the Holy Bible. This is Coast to Coast AM right now on a great Easter weekend. I'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. Our guest tonight, Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. Reverend, if I came up to you and I said, you know, I'm kind of feeling like maybe Jesus could have been an extraterrestrial, that maybe he was just sent here, that maybe he was here with knowledge and was here to unite us. But I think he's one of them. He comes from the stars. Do you look at me as being blasphemous and out of my mind, or is it something that is okay to consider or to ponder? Ooh, I guess we've lost the good reverend. Okay, all right. While we're
can you hear me?
We got you. We got you. There you go, Reverend.
Okay. Listen, I think that that would be an excellent question. That it would be excellent, and I would encourage that type of inquiry, because number one, you know, when we look at the Jesus story, now we're going to go back to Christmas. You know, we know that stars don't move over the heavens and shine lights down on mangers. We know that that doesn't happen. We know that ships do. And so if Jesus's father, which he talks about, if his father is not human and his mother is, this makes Jesus not fully human. And he's constantly talking about his father is in heaven. He's constantly talking about, I am from above, you are from below. He's talking about his kingdom is not of this world. I mean, this is what he tells Pilate in the Gospel of John when he's on trial. And so this is an excellent example of an avatar of an enlightened soul coming to earth with a message of unity, of forgiveness, and of love. When he leaves to go back after the crucifixion, he goes up on a cloud. Now remember, in the Exodus story, thousands of years earlier, this is where the Jewish tradition comes from, there's a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, which the Jewish people follow for 40 days and 40 nights.
Right.
Now we have Jesus leaving on a cloud. He's very familiar with these stories. Remember, Jesus is a Jewish man. He's not a Christian. Paul starts Christianity, who was happened to be a Hellenized Jew and a Roman citizen. So I think it is very insightful to look at Jesus as if he were a hybrid, because this is what we're talking about.
Yeah, because, again, when I hear one reference after another about everything coming from above, it just makes me stop and think that maybe, just maybe, it's not what we think today in modern technical terms.
Well, the other thing is this. The pros of that is that, okay, so we're made of star stuff, that we are one with the cosmos. This is our home. The flip side of that, though, is that Western religion, speaking of Christianity, Catholicism, Methodist, Congregation, Baptist, the flip side of that is they took that knowledge and they made God, whatever that means to you, because that's a word with a lot of baggage. God is way out in the sky, and we are way down here on earth, and so there's a separateness. And all of this fighting and strife comes because we believe that we're separate from creation, and so we're separate from each other. That's an ego mindset. And this is why we have most of the problems that we have. So here we have this Jewish man. Not that Judaism is better than any other religion, but this is the religion he was born into, if you will, and tries to transform, which is part of what got him in trouble. He is saying, wait a minute, whoa. God is within you. It's not outside of you. You are not separate. That's why when he says, I and my father are one, because his father is an E.T. His father. Now, I want to be clear, not saying that God is an E.T. Not saying that. It's very different. But he's saying that you are not separate from your source. But look what they said to him. They said that he was a blasphemer. Who the hell do you think you are, making yourself equivalent to God? Because their idea of God was so narrow.
Right.
And patriarchal.
Right.
And this is why we have, this is why Billy Meyer, even though there are holes in his story, I believe in the beginning something did happen, but he talks about the Palladian perspective on what God, they say, yes, there is a God, but there's an intelligence above God, a consciousness above that called creation. And what we've done here on Earth is we worship the ET instead of worshiping the...
Right, right. Well, that brings up the big question then. Here it is. This is Easter weekend.
Yes, it is.
Now, for the Palladians, or we can talk about Venetians, we can talk about Martians. We don't have to go that far out. Is Jesus unique to planet Earth?
Well, that's a great question. I would say no. In one sense, yes. In one sense, no. And I know some more Orthodox brothers and sisters will want to curse me out. Buddha, 500 years before Jesus, was saying some of the same things. But he was saying them. I mean, we still talk about it today in metaphysics.
Right.
In the Dhammapada, he says, all that we are, and all that we ever will be is because of our thinking. It's because of our mind. We create our reality. Now, this is a man who's saying this 500 years before Jesus.
Right.
That our consciousness that shapes our world. Okay, and then we have Jesus saying, as an adult, saying, it is done unto you as you believe. Which means that if you wake up tomorrow, which I hope you do, and you say, this is going to be a great adventure today, I'm going to have a great day, then most likely you can put those things in motion. You can wake up tomorrow and go, oh my God, it's another crime.
Oh.
We got Hillary Clinton. We got all this stuff.
Right?
Yeah, and... this is just a miserable day.
Right.
Either way, you're right.
Well, you know? Well, when you have had your contact with your friends, ET, what have you? Did you ask directly? Do you have a God? Do you guys have religion? Is it the same that we are experiencing here?
No, I didn't, because I was so much in fear at the time and so much in awe that someone could walk through my wall or wind up in my bedroom while my doors and windows were shut.
Right.
But what I did do is that after my mind was stretched, after seeing them constantly, I started, you know, maybe a book fell on my head, or I started reading some literature, or when I was in the support group, I talked to other people who had these experiences, and it accelerated my spiritual growth, and it got me to thinking outside of the box.
Right.
Got me to opening my heart. It got me to really thinking, what would it be like if I loved wastefully? What would it be like if I just didn't live in fear all the time, whether it's existential or whatever. And so in that way, they opened me up, and I'm sure they had a hand in it. But I started reading other material. I started reading Billy Meyer stuff. I started reading Dr. Richard Borland, Positive Experiences with Extraterrestrial Visitors, reading about their spirituality, which has nothing to do with anything on Earth. It has to do with the unity of the law of one, that there is no separation, and that there is such a thing as reincarnation, and that we do go on to different levels of consciousness, and that we are here to learn to love, and as you said at the top of this show, to gather wisdom, not information, because information is different from wisdom. Information applied correctly can be wisdom. We live in the information age. We got more wisdom when you want to, I go buy a pair of jeans, man, I got 25 choices.
Right.
Information. That's information. That's different from wisdom. Wisdom is something that I can apply to life, where I can grow, where I can reach out to you and say, you're my brother, or this is my sister, where I can live in a different way. If for people who are not religious listening, you don't like the word spirituality, sounds too new age or whatever, then I'm talking about the cultivation of an inner life, the cultivation of a sense of ethics, a sense of morals, a sense of consciousness, whatever word you want to put there. But that's what we're here to do.
Is Jesus as important today, and especially on an Easter weekend, in this crazy, technically advanced society that we have, with 300 channels on television and the internet and cell phones and computers and tablets and craziness and self-driving cars and the world that we have right now, is Jesus just as important today? And the stuff that he talks about, can the generation that is a couple times removed from you and I even relate to what he was talking about?
I think he's very important now, for the reasons we just stated about the, you know, Jesus lived in empire, which is what we are now. People may argue, but the United States is no longer a republic, just like Rome was no longer a republic at that time. And he lived in an occupied territory where people had their backs against the wall. He paid his dues to Caesar. I pay my taxes, even though they bleed me. But he said that, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, I don't know who's going to be Caesar. It could be Trump. It could be Hillary. It could be Bernie. It doesn't really matter, because I still have to get up the next morning and live. But there's, no matter what turmoil happens, there's still something in me, that spirit, the kingdom of heaven, if you will, that no Caesar can take away. Jesus lived just a few years before Jesus was born. The Roman general Varus, there was a peasant uprising in Palestine. Okay, and Rome attacked Galilee and Samaria. They sold all the inhabitants into slavery. They crucified over 2,000 of the leaders of that uprising. Okay, this was just a few years before Jesus was born, so he knew about empire. The United States is Rome in a lot of ways. Our legions are all over the world. We're spread too thin, actually. And so we're quelling these terrorists, you know. And then remember, to Rome, the Palestinians were terrorists, and Jesus was a Palestinian Jew. But he knew how to live in empire. We focus more on his personality than his teachings. And so we have a religion about Jesus as opposed to about Jesus's teachings.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to East of the Rockies, John out in Florida. John, welcome to Coast AM. Say hi to the Reverend.
Hey, how are you, Reverend?
Hey, John. Happy Easter, brother. How are you?
Happy Easter to you also. Jimmy, thank you very much for your everything you're doing.
Thank you.
My question is, I just got a book called the Urantia Book. U-R-A-N.
I have that book.
Yeah, we all have that book.
And well, I don't. And now I do.
Okay.
I'm really intrigued. I'm from Sedona, and I'm now in Florida, and I just love everything you're talking about, and I'm just ready to dive into it. I don't know if it's anything that maybe you're dealing with, but I'd love to hear your feedback on it, and I'll take my answers off the line.
Yeah, fair enough. And Reverend, before let me comment first. The Urantia book, I treated it like any other great story. That's how I approached it.
Yes. And that is wise, because, see, they, like anything, we can make a religion out of that book. People have.
Yes, they have.
They've made a whole religious thought system out of A Course in Miracles, and I can understand it. I treated it the way you did. I found the gospel stories in the Urantia book pretty much by the book, as those who wrote the gospels really not really knew information. But I also was intrigued about the hierarchy of angels. I was intrigued about the number of prayers from different worlds, which I put in one of my books, my second book. But again, and to Brother John or anybody that's listening, what you do is you take a book like that, and then you read something else, and then you meditate and you pray on it, and you see what works for you. And how do you know it works for you? Because your heart is open to more love, because you find yourself interacting with your brothers and sisters in a different way.
Right.
The same things that set you off don't push your button so much anymore. That's how you decipher truth. You can't get it just intellectually. You get it intellectually, but you have to start living it. So, yes, we all have the Urantia book. There's some things in there that are fascinating to me and have opened me up. And there's some things that are like, well, I'm not sure. But that's okay. That's okay, because we're here to seek and to learn. Now, remember, seeking means that you got to find something.
And one other thing, Jimmy, I just wanted to say this real quick, because after the first break, once in a while you ask me, do I preach this from my pulpit? I do, but in a different way. Sometimes I talk about ET stuff, or I sneak some of it in, but usually I'm always talking about love. How do we become more loving? How do we become more authentic? Because that's the message of all these avatars. And so I do preach it from my pulpit. Sometimes blatantly I'll say, this is from my book, Alien Scriptures. But sometimes I'll just couch it, this is from Whitley Strieber. Whitley says blah, 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 blah. And so they get it that way.
Yeah, yeah, fair enough. And the reason why I asked is because I do a show every single night, right? I'm live on the air. And I base what I speak about on the show, my personal experiences throughout the day, how I've interacted with somebody, and so forth. And so for you, you must do the same thing.
No, I do. I do. I just couch it. I'm more open now. They're more open now. When I first got there, they didn't want to hear the word God too much. And, you know, it's a Unitarian congregation. It's very cerebral. And so I love it because of the openness. But, for instance, I'll give you an example. On Mother's Day, I'm going to do a sermon on angels and what that means. Okay, for some people it could mean people in the Bible, for some people it could be angels in your life. They don't all have to have wings, but I will mention UFOs in the context of the sermon, people who have been angels for us to guide us in our lives.
I find that interesting. Let me jump in really quick. We're going to hit a break right here. Our guest tonight is the Reverend Michael J.S. Carter. This is our special Easter weekend. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I'll be right back.